sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 151. Or die trying. The next piece is, again, Big Rube. It's from Big Rube. Operating under the crooked American system too long. Outcast, pronounced outcast. Adjective meaning homeless or unaccepted in society. But let's look deeper than that. Are you an outcast? If you understand and feel the basic principles and fundamental truth contained within this music, you probably are. If you think it's all about pimping hoes and slamming Cadillac doors, you probably a cracker or a nigga that think he a cracker. Or maybe you just don't understand. An outcast is someone who is not considered to be part of the normal world. He is looked at differently. He is not accepted because of his clothes, his hair, his occupation, his belief, or his skin color. Now look at yourself. Are you an outcast? I know I am. As a matter of fact, fuck being anything else. It's only so much time left in this crazy world. Wake up, niggas, and realize what's going on around you. Poisoning the food and the water, tampering of cigarettes, disease engineering control over your life. Take back your existence or die like a punk. This is Big Rube saying, right on to the real and death to all you fakers. Peace out. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I would like to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 25th, 2024. Oh wow, February's coming to an end soon. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Fuck you too. All right. Get us this show going. All right, gang. First, let me get rid of these distractions. I got to minimize some windows. I got a lot of shit going on here. All right, okay. Hey, yeah. Okay, let's get the show started. But before I start, I want to familiarize you new listeners. Check it out. I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Or I prefer to call them acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final one is called final thoughts. Now in the first act, the intro, I do shit like... What time is it? Yeah, I do shit like... So far in the intro, I've played the anthem, told you the title of the episode, recited some poetry, and then welcomed you. You know, welcomed you while giving you a heads up giving you a heads up, again, to you listeners, of the kind of podcast, the kind of host you'll be listening to. If I'm overthinking, if you find myself pausing a lot, is because I'm realizing that I'm already at 4 minutes plus 2 minutes intro. That's 6 minutes. I might trim the intro. I might trim the intro, but fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. So I'll figure it out. I'll think it through. I'm up for suggestions. Okay. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some birthdays that worth remembering this week. Well, in this particular one, it's actually late. I want to send a happy belated birthday, RIP, to Toni, the author, Toni Morrison. Is that just her accolade? Is that just a... did she make movies? American novelist? Yeah. Yeah, okay. But you should know that if you listen to that podcast, to this podcast. Yeah, happy belated birthday. Her birthday was February 18, and she was born in 1931 and passed away August 5th, 2019. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quotes or word of the wisdom. This one, today's quote goes, somebody is mad at you. Well, it's not a quote, but whatever. Somebody is mad at you right now because you picked peace over drama and distance over disrespect. Okay, let me repeat that. Somebody is mad at you right now because you picked peace over drama and distance over disrespect. Right. And then now some words of wisdom from the elders, from an elder. And this one comes from TikTok, and I'm just going to play it. It goes like this. I'm just going to brace myself for the sound. Hopefully it's not too loud. Here we go.
How much disrespect can I take until I cut off a friend or a family member?
How much poison do you take until you die?
I love that this came from an elder. Shout out to those of us who grew up in families that really practiced honor thy parents. And so the question, how much disrespect should you tolerate from an elder? Their answer would be like, all of them. I'm saying because it's coming from an elder, it's different. It just feels different, but it's well accepted. Yes. Yeah. Now, if you're 16 listening to this podcast, I don't know about that. I mean, you shouldn't have to tolerate disrespect. I'm just not sure how's it going to work out. I mean, I guess if it comes down to it, you'll find your own place. Yeah. You know what? Don't listen to me if I don't find out that people got homeless because they took heed to something I said on this something that was said on this podcast. But then again, you shouldn't tolerate disrespect. You know what? Longer conversation. All right. Let's see what's going on. Yeah, this concludes. Okay, that's it for everything I wanted to cover in the intro. Okay, we're 7 minutes in, plus that's technically 9 minutes in. That's not bad. All right. Let's get the show started. All right, y'all ready? Boys and girls, ready? You got your drinks? You got your you got your weed? You got your all that shit? Okay, cool. Let's do this. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to need to work on that. Are you an outcast? Because that, man, whatever. That's thinking out loud. Thinking out loud. Okay. All right. So this first clip that I'm going to play is, I'm not going to make any comments to it because the sister just, I'm just labeling this one under Tell 'em Sister. And essentially made a point that, she just makes a point that I've had difficulty making when it comes with respect to the war in the Middle East between Palestine and Israel. Now, Israel will tell you they're at war with Hamas, but I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that. Sounds like I'm seeing way too many casualties for this to be a specific war against one terrorist organization. But, you know, what do I know? Anyways, I'm going to let this sister speak and make a point that I wish I could have made myself. Here we go.
Let me tell you, speaking for millions of Jewish people around the world right now, I think it's really offensive that progressives have totally, totally forgotten history and what the misery of being Jewish has been for generations and generations and generations, for reasons that I do not really understand, but is real. So please,
don't let that progressive love stop in my door.
I'll
help you understand. For one, Representative Phillips, it is strikes me as a little ironic that you're going to say to me in my face as a Black American who doesn't have the option of someone that the United Nations and the international community having intervened on my behalf to create an entire country for my people who have zero options of some place to flee. So it strikes me as much as I empathize, when you tell the story of Jewish ships, ships full of Jewish people after the Holocaust being turned away, I've spoken at length on this podcast about how disgusted I was to discover that Otto Frank and Frank's father was application was turned away and how close they came to be able to immigrate to America. I'm disgusted by it. But the question is, why should the actions of an anti-Semitic America and an anti-Semitic Europe be paid for by the people of Palestine who had absolutely nothing to do with the horrors of the Holocaust?
I'm going to fix that. All right. Hopefully I didn't burst your eardrums with that last one. But yeah, man. Shout out to that sister for breaking that down. I said I was going to make, yeah, okay, no comment. One thing I will say is I'm the first time hearing before October 7th, before I was more knowledgeable of what was going on in Palestine, but I remember learning about how, so Holocaust over, how Israel, they were a state, they were a nation, and they built themselves an army, and it was one of the most powerful armies or powerful, aviation in the world. Like, basically, I was impressed because they built themselves a force that pretty much said, yo, try that shit again, Hitler. You fucking with the wrong dudes, right? Like, I was, like, as a member of the family of the oppressed, that was some impressive shit. But who knew they were going to use all that military might on women and children of Palestine? Why? Anyways, yeah, and whatever, man. It's just, I'm worried I messed up the point that the sister was making, but I'm going to give her one of these. That was dope. Shout out to my articulate siblings, man. All right, this next one is, I'm just going to play it because I forgot what... Oh, right, okay, so it's someone... I'm using other people's content. Oh, okay, I'm going to give you their name. Okay, oh, sorry, wait, the first one, I can't... Oh, wait, it's called One to Visit. And she's on TikTok, and again, links are in the show notes. And you can get to it yourself. The second one is... basically, I've been listening to the whole Fannie Willis case going on, the prosecutor going after Trump, and she was, you know what, I'm going to let this brother explain it from the podcast, The Chop Up Show, and I get the feeling it's, sorry, I just, sometimes I make jokes in my head, I think a lot, I think very quickly, anyways, I think homeboy just takes, okay, kind of like Jon Stewart, but, black guy, Jon Stewart type thing, but you know what, let me play it, here we go.
Conservatives' favorite diversity hire, Candace Owens, has joined the chorus.
Hold on. You realize? Yes, Candace Owens is definitely a conservative, is a diversity hire. So here we go. Because white people love her.
Conservatives' favorite diversity hire, Candace Owens, has joined the chorus calling District Attorney Fannie Willis's behavior in her testimony last week ghetto. Now, we know how accomplished Fannie Willis is in the legal field. Mm-hmm. She's the top prosecutor in Fulton County. So the term ghetto is only being used in an attempt to demean her character using racist stereotypes. But Candace is not doing what y'all think is doing when y'all say that. What real niggas recognize is that ghetto Fannie is a superhero. She said, fuck y'all respectability politics, especially if you're on some TMZ shit trying to make up lies about my personal life. Black people in the legal field, in corporate, and any any white-dominated professional field, we rely on tactics like code-switching, respectability politics, to not scare y'all. Because we really with the shit. In professional settings, we end up saying stuff like, sure thing, you got it. Yep. When what we really want to say is, you got me fucked up. But we don't. We hold that back. When we finally in a space where we can say what we really want to say, it's terrifying for y'all. So y'all call out that fear. Y'all identify that fear. It's the ghetto. But this is what y'all don't get. A shit-slinging trash attorney like Ashley Merchant deserves ghetto. Professional courtesy? Yeah, that shit went smooth out the window when they decided to make this case about her sex life in order to protect the crook. Mm. Talking about ghetto. Talking about ghetto. This whole case ghetto. The whole case got ghetto when the defense decided to dig into this man's divorce because they didn't have nothing else and they was about to get cooked on this RICO. The defense got ghetto when Ashley Merchant decided to use past friendships, personal text messages, and conversations on some snake shit to create this whole controversy. Trump and his team got ghetto when they decided to ask the Georgia Secretary of State to find votes and attempted to use fake electors to steal the election. Problem is, y'all ran into the wrong one. And now y'all trying to impeach her character? Okay, hold on. Let's get this straight. Trump is about to have to pay damn near $90 million for SA-ing a woman and defaming her after the fact. Add another 300-something for committing hella fraud in New York. Compared to Donald Trump, Lee Willis is a saint, and y'all trying to question her ethics and credibility? Mm-hmm. Delusional. Man, finally got that G in her, and it came out because y'all was playing on her name. If y'all don't want to deal with ghetto finding, get your shit together. If not, you're going to have to deal with the smoke you deserve. Respectability be damned.
Okay, so shout out to the political plug, at the political plug on TikTok. For that thought, and also shout out to Consciously for sharing it, for initially sharing it, bringing it up on my timeline. Okay. I'm not gonna add anything. There's a link in the, if you go in the my show notes, in the fourth section called other links, at the like closer to the bottom. There's a link to let me just make sure I get the title right. I refuse to be a good black. And the sister just breaks down, content creator on TikTok, breaks down how pretty much tired of playing the respectability politics within with white folks at work. So I refuse to be the good black. And basically shrinking, a better way to, or another way you could say it, or another way I would have said it is, I had an incident at my work that involved racism, and towards the end, I remember just telling my boss, well, my manager at the time, I'm saying, look, man, look, either you want me to do my job or you want me to fight racism. I'm not fucking doing both. See, that's the challenge, the thing about being black in a white settings. Every once in a while, you'll have to deal with a white person who just, you know, doesn't know how, who's unfamiliar on how racist they are, because they, it's like white people from buttfuck nowhere, and you're the first black person they interact with, and every once in a while, they're gonna say, do some racist shit, and unfortunately, you gotta be in the position to be like, hey, that's fucked up. So there was too much of that going on at work, and then it just brought me to the point where it's like, look, man, you got me doing two fucking jobs. Either you want me to fight race, either you want me to clean up the racism in your organization, or you want me to do my job. But I'm not doing both. Being a good black is ignoring the racism while trying to do your job. All right. Next clip. Oh, yeah. I don't usually like talking about Candace Owen, but... you know, the plug said it better than me, so I'll stop there. Speaking of Articulate Brothers, I'm going to play something by Did I really not put up his name? Oh, Garrison Hayes. You know what's interesting? That this video is only available on Instagram, but that's another story. I don't like playing content from Instagram, but here we are. All right, here we go.
Thing. I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see, black support eroding from Joe Biden, This is connecting with Black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics.
This is one of the frustrating parts about living in a hyper-segregated white supremacist society. White people often fundamentally misunderstand Black people. And yet they are almost always in positions where they get to describe us and our culture authoritatively.
The mugshot has breathed new life into the Trump campaign and broadened his appeal to Black Americans.
Trump's a gangster, and that means he has cred.
But what's crazy is that a study from 2014 found that 75% of white Americans have no Black friends.
None.
On the other hand, for Black people, it is often necessary for our very survival to have a complex, nuanced, discerning understanding of our white counterparts. I mean, just to navigate the world that many of us live in. My point is that these folks cannot speak for us because they don't know us.
Right. They don't know us. Oh my God, sorry. Something's going on with my throat. I might need to suck on a fisherman's friend. I said that on purpose, just for you non-Canadians. Actually, I'm not going to suck on it. It's a lozenge. Une pastille. Come on, en français. And they, something's wrong with my throat is acting up. Yeah, lozenge is the name of the brand. Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm having memories of a white friend who introduced me. Goes, "You want to suck on a fisherman's friend?" And this was during my less enlightened days. So I'm like, "You calling me gay?" All right, yeah. And this homie just trying to do me a service, and I'm all like, I'm all homophobic. all right, okay, sorry. Back to what Garrison Hayes was saying. There's a joke somewhere in. There's an evident joke, but there's other joke. Like, I felt like writing on Twitter. I'm like, yo, you know, ever since Trump came out with these sneakers, his politics have been making sense. Now, I am on record of saying that, yeah, no, I did think that the sneakers look nice. Maybe it's the whole goal, but there's no fucking way in hell I'm gonna wear that shit. What am I, nuts? And or accept it. I mean, like, he let me put it, okay, you know what? No. The only thought I have about this is if you fuckers elect him, if Donald Trump wins this next election, all those jokes we made about the sneakers won't matter. Because, yes, I do know there's some Black people willing to vote for Trump. Now, I'm not saying they're a majority, but I know that I'm dying. Sorry. Whew. Opening the door to get some air going. Woo! Oh my God. I'm dying here. What was I saying? Sneakers. Oh, right. Yo, if this nigga wins this next election, it doesn't matter. Think of all the shit that he's done. That we laughed at him. Now we're going to have to be like, oh, shit, looks like he was right. Now, I'm not giving praises to Trump, not at all. I'm worried about the people who are like, he's so stupid. Trump supporters are so stupid. And they say, talk all that shit and don't show up to the voting booth. Because they have this superiority complex that, yeah, I'm smart, they're stupid, and I'm not participating in the next election. Anyways, whatever. Yeah, I think my only point is if this nigga wins the next election, maybe I will buy his sneakers. All right. Okay. Donnell writes, yes, another favorite content creator out there. And he addresses something. He Gets Us commercial that played during the Super Bowl, and it was the Jesus commercial, and confused a lot of people. It's like, wait, y'all got all this money to play a commercial during the Super Bowl, but y'all can't feed the poor? Anyways, Donnell Wright has a take on this that I really appreciated. And it goes something like this. Here we go.
The He Gets Us multi-million-dollar Super Bowl commercial for Jesus were back for another run. One of the commercials they did was a foot washing commercial where people from conflicting social locations engage each other in the Christian ritual of washing feet. They had a white man washing an indigenous man's feet, white women washing the feet of refugees and teen mothers, a police officer washing a black man's feet, and a priest washing an ostensibly gay black man's feet. This is a reminder that the hundreds of millions of dollars financing this He Gets Us campaign are tied to a conservative nonprofit in Kansas. This is the same organization that invests tens of millions of dollars into organizations like the Alliance Defending Freedom. The Alliance Defending Freedom is listed by the Southern Poverty Law Center as an anti-LGBTQ hate group, and the ADF is also directly involved in the building of Project 2025. They're one of the very first names listed on the advisory board. Y'all, these are people that actively want to put LGBTQ plus folks in prisons for existing. Yet these are the people funding a Jesus Didn't Teach Hate campaign of inclusivity. And of course, another major funder is David Green, the conservative Christian CEO of Hobby Lobby.
So I think you'll see us, our family, with a lot of other families coming on a program. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it. The Super Bowl, He Gets Us. So we're wanting to say, we being a lot of different people, that He gets us. He understands all of us. He hates who he loves who we hate. And so I think we have to let the public know and create a movement, really.
This is the man who went to the Supreme Court to fight for the right to not give his employees contraceptive coverage. And they won that case in a 5-4 decision.
So somehow or another today we're seen as the haters. And yet we have the greatest story in the world about Christ who died for us while we're yet sinners. So we're not the haters. We're the one that's got the best and the greatest love story in the world.
This is the man who funded several Project 2025 organizations with his amassed wealth. Hundreds of millions of dollars are supposed to go into this campaign over the next few years, at this present moment in our lives with all that we face. And there is a direct correlation between the rapid decline in religious engagement, especially among young people, and a conservative inclusivity campaign that portrays Jesus as a refugee, as relatable to the common people. They realize that there's a problem in religious engagement and they're trying to fix it, because religion is used for social control. But it's like Brother Solomon said, if your religious organization has the money to buy Super Bowl ads and people can't afford rent or groceries, he might get us. But you don't get him. Feel free to share your thoughts in the comments. Love and liberation to you all. And as always, like and follow for more content.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So, Brother Donnell Wright's pretty much said it all. If I have to add 2 cents in this, in there, it's more, it reminded, okay, 2 things is, I won't lie, when I saw the commercial, and I'm saying this as an ex-Christian, ex-preacher's kid. When I saw that commercial, the message did get to me, especially the contrast between the pastor washing the feet of humbling themselves to wash the feet of a gay man, a gay black man. And that's what it is. That's the part of Christianity that attracted me, that I liked. The concept of Jesus being this almighty being coming down, humbling themselves to, like, save a wretch like me. So what I'm saying is the commercial did its thing. It even got my attention. I'm like, oh, that's not bad. But then I love how he ends with the words of Brother Solomon. It's like, yo, Super Bowl ads are not fucking cheap. They're expensive. That money could have been used to, like, feed people. And it had me thinking, it reminded me of, yo, these assholes, all they're doing is, it's true. They do, Christianity does have a great story. For people like me, they do have a great story. The kind of story that will convert an individual, will make you want to adopt their lifestyle. It's like, lead me. And I think that's the problem is, on the one end, you got the scoundrels using the message, the story, to attract people, and then these unsuspecting people who with goodwill in their hearts, all these kind people, to attract them and turn them into slaves and take advantage of them. I'm listening to the podcast series False Prophet, and they're doing a deep dive on Hillsong, and I made it to recently listened to the episode Terms and Condition Apply, released on March 2nd, 2023. And honestly, man, when I thought I couldn't get any angrier at the church, like I might join a terrorist organization, by the way. Anyways, yeah. Holy shit, that's the kind of clip that I want recorded. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm talking about emotions, not actions. But yeah, when I thought I couldn't get any angrier with the church, so I listened to this terms and condition apply. And there's this one story. It was talking about this one guy. I'm not sure if he knew he was gay at the time, but he remembered hearing the message of Hillsong, joining the church, and it was like, yes, that's what I'm all about. I want to live a life of service. I want to serve Christ and all that shit. Then at some point, again, I'm forgetting if he was aware that he realized that he's gay. And, yo, this dude devoted his life to the church. And once they find out he was gay, they turned their back on him. Let me try to make my point, combine where I'm going with all this. I'm saying that the Donnell Wright's take combined with the Hillsong, the story of Hillsong the false prophet that I just shared with you, reminded me of my final days into Christianity. One of the things that I stopped doing was the mission of bringing people to Christ. Like, I don't know, doing a good action, doing something good, or inspiring someone and say, yeah, no, don't thank me, go to Christ. Because my concern was, if I said go to Christ, I was actually sending them to a pastor. And and some pastors just love to take advantage of, well, what I'm saying is I was sending them to a human being. In my mind, I thought I was leading them towards Christ, but I realized, nah, I'm leading them towards a fucking pastor who's going to tell them what's right and wrong, how to worship, how to think, and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it was less about the relationship with Christ and more relationship with a human being whose intention I didn't trust. What I'm saying is, I think that's the point of this commercial. It's to get people with good intentions. It's like, who love that story. And, like, I mean, because they spent a shitload of money on this commercial. And and their anti-LGBTQ community. Like, I'm sure there was a lot of controversy when they made that commercial. It's devious, guys. It's devious. But then, I don't know. I ain't much I could say to it. It's just, it's devious. It's just, as you can tell, I'm very, I've lost faith or trust in the church. I'm not saying all church people are bad. I'm just saying the institution as a whole needs to be burnt down. And when I talked about joining a terrorist organization, I mean, yes. Is someone like, I'm that angry. That's what I'm saying against the church. That's what I'm talking about. This is confession. Shut Up Podcast is my confession. And yeah, will I ever let it go? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe as long as I continue to hear more stories like the ones, more testimonies like the one about the Hillsong, what's been going on in the Hillsong Church. I don't think so. Because there's a lot of those stories that exist. Anyways, next item, which is the last item on the ducket. Actually, I'm not going to play the video because it's kind of long. I'm just going to describe it to you. And the title is, imagine being a female PGA professional, right? Her name is, maybe I should know her name. Oh, that's not right. I should know her name. Anyways. Okay, so the video, if you haven't seen it already, is a woman is not, I was going to say playing golf, but she's like in the, what's that thing called when you're in the range, you know, when you're trying to hit the balls far. Shout out to my cousin Johnny for taking me out to one of those places. And it's not that easy. It's not that fucking easy. Anyway, so this woman, she's hitting balls And then the camera is on her as she's minding her own business. And in the background, you can hear some dude saying, I guess giving her pointers on how to hit. It's like, hey, you should do it this way, yada, yada, yada. What this asshole doesn't know is she's a professional player. And the reason I'm sharing this story is more two things. More the way she handles the situation. Two, and it's probably the most important thing, too, is I'm thinking of the first time I finally understood the concept or the word confidence. And it was in therapy. And realizing that all my example of confidence were bullshit. So getting back to my reason number two, what I love about the way she handles the situation is just, I'm so sorry. All right, yeah, is the sheer confidence on her side. Basically, she's hitting the ball, and the dude is like, yeah, man, you should try, you know, I'm not paying attention to, like, by the way, that camera should have been turned on this asshole, but that's another story. I'm not sure what he's telling her, but it's advice. I think he's mansplaining golf to her. And she's like playing along like, yeah, no thanks, but this is what I'm trying to do. I love that part, right? But this is what I'm trying to do. She doesn't dismiss the dude. It's like, yeah, no, it's a good point. But the reason why you're seeing me do something differently is because I'm trying something different. And what I love about it is at no point does she reveal that, hey, asshole, I do this for money with your broke ass. This ain't a hobby for me, man. I'm working right now and you're fucking interfering. She's just smiling, playing along. I mean, right. I'm sure she's also, you know, as a woman, you got to be careful because, you know, he might be fucking crazy. So it's like, yeah, you're right, whatever. But what I love about her response, it's a classic, it's the example of confidence that I needed to see growing up. She chooses not to correct the dude. She just explains, this is what I'm trying to do. This asshole's not paying attention to her, but she just goes along and just explain that, you know, I'm just trying something different, which is why it might look awkward to you. And it's just, I wish I had that. I mean, no, I mean, as a black person in a white space, yeah, every once in a while I've had to like, keep it quiet while this mass, and let this person assume that, let this person go roll with the idea that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Because it just makes it worse. Anyway, you know, I'm going to play this clip again. Hold on a second. Because even though you're not going to be able to hear it, I just want to hear the words. I'll try to translate. Okay, so yeah, so the guy next to me tried to give me swing advice. Yeah. Whew. Excuse me. And he says, what you're doing there? You're too slow on the way up.
Okay. I'm going through a swing change at the minute. So everything I'm...
Did he say I've been playing 20 years?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going through a swing change at the minute, so with that, I'm just making everything.
Oh, this fucking guy. Anyone who's been in this situation knows what, like, the rage is like, there's fire in your chest. Wow. But that was much better than that was?
Yeah, thank you. I don't think that was... Yeah. No, I'm actually going through a swing change the minute seconds.
Poor lady.
In order to get...
She's debating between setting his ass straight or just like, you know what? What's the expression? You can't teach an idiot. You can't talk to... oh, my God. You can't talk to stupid.
Whether you see, you watch golf, the best players in the world, when they are making a practice swing or they're going through a change.
He ain't listening. Oh, he said he'd been doing it 20 years. okay? Arnie, what's the response? No worries. Oh, this motherfucker. I know what you mean, sister. I'm sorry about that. Just to give you, okay, guys, I'm a very emotional person. I knew that I needed to hit pause, but I was so caught up in that moment. Like, I wish I would have volunteered to be, okay, look at me. I was going to say volunteered to be her bodyguard, but look at me. Captain Save a White Woman. Okay, all right. No. Let's just make it a, sorry. This is solidarity with all of us who've been in the situation where you knew your shit. And it's some white guy. Usually it's a white guy. I mean, okay, this is black. Okay. I say some white guy jumps in and they're like, hey, well, actually, let me tell you what it's like to be black. Now, to be honest with you, I've had frequently, because I'm making fun of white males, but I've come across this behavior a lot with people at church. It's like, yes, no, I know the Bible says this, but I don't know. I think maybe the whole stoning people for being gay might be a little fucked up. Oh, blah, 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 verses, blah, blah, blah. And the point to their conversation is stop thinking. I'm doing it for you. I hated that. Fucking hated that. Anyways, I'm glad she uploaded this video. every once in a while, I like to go in the comment section and, whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. Pause. Yeah. Why are the men down here complaining so much about her pants? Oh, man, get the fuck out of here. You want her golf jeans, hoodie, and jacket? Anyways, yeah. Try not to scream at the monitor. There we go. Okay. Try not to scream at the monitor was killing me the entire video. She is one graceful lady to hold it together. I know, right? Yeah. Beautiful swing. Gorgeous. I'm reading the comments, by the way. Why did this get 25? Oh, shut up. Why did this get 25 million views? I wish I knew. I was just tweeting my usual B. Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. Who posted this? Is it European COD? No, she's a gamer. Okay. Ooh. Okay, whatever. Okay, let me stick to the point. The reason why I'm sharing this clip, it was more of my example of what confidence looked like. Some people would rather be like, excuse me, I have a degree in this shit. And she just chose to, okay, this dude wants to believe I'm an idiot, then okay, fuck it. You can't educate a moron. All right. Okay, yeah, not bad for time. All right, guys, let me not go overtime here. Let's, okay, this ends news and final thoughts. I kind of wanted to, I'm going to end it right here, yeah. I think I'm going to send a shout out to my man Trevor Thompson. He recently released an episode of his podcast. That's how it was, his podcast, Trevor Thompson. Damn, what's the name of your podcast, bro? That doesn't matter. And I don't know, man. Listening to him is like listening to, I used to wish that a rapper came out and probably was able to exemplify, be a product of what it means to be from Ottawa, but basically draw a picture of Ottawa. And when I listen to his podcast, I listen to that and I'm like, yo, dude, you're so Ottawa. But not in a bad way. It's like painting a picture of the Mona Lisa. It's like in an art form. It's like, yeah. What I mean by that, a lot of his thoughts are my thoughts. We probably think the same thing, respond differently, but at the core of everything he's saying, I'm like, dude, I know what you mean. Anyway, yeah. So he recently released an episode. And, I recently released an episode that I really enjoyed. And this is just me showing, giving props to what, you know, props when props are deserved. And it's, it's not a, It's not it. You know what? I could probably do a whole segment on his podcast, but and I'll leave it for another time. I'm trying to figure it out. But I just wanted to make a note that I really appreciated his recent episode. Same goes for Detour. Emily Nicola. Make sure, because last thing I need is to fuck up the lady's name. Yeah. And she had some woman, she had a woman, an author on from Palestine, and talking about, you know, fuck shit. I mean, it's not easy, but there's a thought that was in there that got me. It's like she was talking about how being a Palestinian and the shit that they're going through, and how she doesn't look at it as just her being attacked. It's more the idea like, yo, humanity hasn't learned shit, man, from its past atrocity. She goes, yo, my people are not going to be the last people. In this world, my people are not going to be the last people to go through this bullshit. There's going to be another group after this fad, after this is over, there's going to be another group. I mean, like the Congo, but there's something about us human beings. And once we dehumanize another group of human beings, fuck, the worst comes out. But yeah. Yeah, that's it, man. All right, gang, let me jump to news and random thoughts. Oh, my God, final thoughts, and call it a podcast. All right? Okay, let's do this. All right. Yo, this final thought is not going to be long. At least that's not to get my attention. Or Die Trying, the title Or Die Trying, is just a it's a sequel of the last episode. Last episode was Or Die Like a Punk. And I just realized that, okay, let me back up. Let me just explain. Or Die Like a Punk comes from Big Rube, comes from Big Rube in a poem slash piece that he read on Outkast's first album in a track called True That. And what I like about it is, about that poem or that piece is, I felt like it was a celebration of the fact that it was both a celebration and an affirmation of the fact that, excuse me, I'm an outcast. I feel like, embrace the fact that you're an outcast. And by outcast, I mean different. I was meant to stand out. I wasn't meant to fit in. In the last episode, I talked about how I spent my entire life fitting in, and now I'm at the realization that's not what I was meant to be. And yeah, it was a celebration. It's like, hey, in a way, last episode was the equivalent of saying, all right, fuck it. I've just realized that I'm fat and I need to go on a diet. This episode is me going, you know what? This diet might be a little more difficult than I thought. So what I'm saying is, on the last episode, I remember saying, yeah, I'm going to keep it real from now on. And I'm not sure what happened, but I caught myself getting into my old habits. You know what doesn't help? My job. I have a 9-to-5 office job. I'm not complaining, right? It's a chill job. It pays the bills and all that shit. You know, it's better than selling drugs, I guess, or being part of a gang. But but I haven't gotten out of the habit of. See, I've been telling you that I refuse to play the good black. I've been telling you, you know, on this podcast, I talk that black shit. But at work, nah, man, holy fuck. I play a role. I play a game. I'm just trying to keep this fucking job. I want to be clear. I am not doing anything that would cause me, not just getting fired, but that would cause me to be less productive. Like, they didn't hire me to talk that black shit. To talk about, you know, like, you know, like, I avoid bringing up politics at work. So I confine myself into being, I play this role, you know, I'm acting for the sake of just keeping my job and maintaining a peaceful work environment. Now I do, if I was serious about being the real me, the more authentic me, I would lose that fucking job. I'm trying to imagine, you know, it's kind of weird, right? I work in the government, but I have to avoid speaking politics. It's don't know. It would be nice if this podcast paid my bills or afforded me the lifestyle that I currently have. Or, yeah, man. I don't know, man. I guess, holy shit. It's like that line in Fight Club. It's like the things you own end up owning you. Holy shit. I'm a slave to this. Yo, this capitalistic system, man, they built it so well that they made it so that you'll put on your own shackles. You'll show up to work. Yeah, the master doesn't need to beat you. You'll show up to work on time. Wake up and show up to work on time. So, the whole point is me saying to this podcast in this episode is just saying, yes, it's a short final thought. My quest is to take back my existence. My quest is to be who I was meant to be, even at the cost of being an outcast. But I'm acknowledging this shit's not going to be easy. Old habits don't die hard. I'm fucking 49. 49, guys. I'm not making excuses. I'm acknowledging that this shit is not going to be easy. Maybe some of you can just squish just like that. No, not me. Sometimes I need to acknowledge the fact before I jump in this fucking pool, I need to take the real time to realize, yeah, this motherfucker is cold. I overthink. It's my process. It's my process. That's how I... The only hope I have of changing a behavior is by doing what I'm doing right now. Acknowledging that this shit's not going to be easy. There's a quote that I meant to share. Not meant, but I was going to share in the intro, but decided to make it part of my final thought. And it comes from, shout out to Talon Macy for sharing it. And it goes, that's what got me thinking. It goes, you don't discover your place in this world. You carve it out. I said, you don't discover your place in the world. You carve it out. I've made my entire personality is I'm just the observer. I look at everyone, you know, what's everyone thinking? And then make my thoughts. I'm like a squirrel. Now, this notion of carve out your space, that's some next level shit for me, for someone like me. It's pretty much, it goes back to in therapy, they were saying, yo, take up space, man. Because I've built a system of survival by getting out of people's way, shutting the fuck up, being silent. Now, this podcast is me being a bit defiant, but carving it out, just reflecting on that, you know, we're going to transition from being the person who's finding himself to, nah, fuck that. Carve it out. It's like that line, I'm thinking of, I love that line. It's Scarface. He goes, we gotta expand. Talking to Frank, you know, this is after fuck the Diaz brothers. Fuck them all. I buried those cockroaches. He said, we gotta expand and we gotta enforce our mark. I remember hearing that. I mean, it sounds cool when he says it. That's some gangster shit. But me, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's for. That's not made for me. Look, I think all I'm saying is there's a lot that's going to have to be changed in order to make that happen. You know what? Okay. Now, I'm talking to you on how hard it is for me to switch from being the person who's just an observer to the person who's like, fuck that. This is my territory. My territory, don't cross the line. Anyways, yeah. So I'm working on a plan to get myself out there. I'm staring at my board. I said, develop a plan for this podcast. Guess, target audience. What the fuck am I going to do with this TikTok account? YouTube, Twitter, IG, and Threads. Now, I don't know about Instagram and Threads. Like, I promote through Twitter. Oh, yeah, I get myself on Spotify. But what I recently did was create a Patreon account. And I think on the from now on the Patreon account is where I will put the audio and visual version of this podcast. It's not ready yet because, you know, no one's paying for it. Well, I mean, I just put it out. But what I like is I'm finally going to get into the habit of recording myself. I've been shy about that shit. I've been timid about putting, yo, some of the meanest people are on YouTube. Anyways, so I've been shy about getting myself on YouTube, but this is what I mean by, but this, I'm realizing this is what I mean by taking up space, carving out, carving a space on, put yourself out there, make yourself available for the haters to come at you. But the point is not to give something for the haters to come after. The point is to find you. And by you, I mean anyone who hears the, who hears what I say and relate, can relate or understand or fucks with what I say, understands my sense of humor. I'm just, you know, carving it out. Anyways, I just gotta embrace the fact that I'm an outcast. See, the thing I love at the end of the big room, he says, fuck me and anything else, is what's interesting is the definition of masculinity that I grew up with, it's like, be your own man. That's what being a gangster was supposed to be all about. You know, it's, you're being your own man and shit like that, which is, I get that, but what happens when, hey, I'm gay, or, you know, I don't identify as a man? That's not gangster anymore. That's not living by your own rules. You know what I mean? How the fuck do we not understand that shit? How do people not understand that people are just trying to live their lives? They're just trying to take up their space. What I'm saying is it's cool being an outcast until it's not cool anymore. Just like being black. It's everybody wants to be black until it's until they don't want to be black. It's like, whoa, hold on. As I'm imitating the white person. Like, whoa. I wouldn't be able to say the N-word and keep my privilege as a white person. Anyway, I've said my piece. I think I've, that's it. I'm taking up space. I will be taking up space. That's what, that's going to be my final words. Oh, right. And the title is, I was thinking of, so the last title was, And Die Like a Punk. And the full sentence is, take back your existence or die like a punk. And it reminded me of 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. Last episode, I realized my path, the path for my, like, that's what I'm committing my life to, is to be the best version of myself. Even if it means being an outcast. Even if it means trying shit that other people are like, yeah, you know what, B, you should give up. I'm preaching right now. I'm preaching. And what I mean by preaching, I'm saying shit that I gotta be, that I need to force myself to practice. So I'm going to stop preaching. I'm just letting you know that, yes, I am committed to this shit. As either I make it or I die trying. But I'm acknowledging that it's not an easy path. That's all the purpose to today's final thoughts. It ain't easy being me. Will I see the penitentiary or will I stay free? All right. Fuck, I feel good. Okay. Well, since I got a bit of time left. All right, yo, check out, like I said, go to the show notes. Broken down into four sections. The first three are the acts of this podcast. And the last section is called Other Links. And in Other Links, there's just cool links worth checking out. And my favorite one in there is a South African man eloquently explains why he supports Palestinians. And then Tim Scott. Oh, yeah. And RIP Cagney Lynn Carters. I'm just going to say that. Yeah. She's a porn star who committed suicide. It's a sad story that, you know, I mean, I imagine, I don't know. I don't think being a porn star is an easy life to go into. But it's more the idea that I don't think her life was easy already. And for her to, like, make that decision, there's just something tragic about that shit. So I don't know, just felt the need to say RIP to this soul. All right, this concludes today's episode. As always, you can holler at me on these Twitter streets, Twitter, Instagram, or Thread streets using the handle at ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's at ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really serious, like if you're really about it, if you're really trying to find me on these internet streets, you'll want to go to ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. One more time. The volume was a little low in my headphones when you said that. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple. So usually I say pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast except Spotify and now iHeartRadio. Yeah, not the pro sites. I'm not on the Apple directory, but yeah, man. I'm figuring that out, guys. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always, please be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now!